All right, welcome into the Arkansas Prep Extra podcast here on this Monday. Kate Carlton joined alongside Nate Olson after the second week of the high school football season, geared up for another week this Friday night. Nate, how are you?
Good. A little tired. Been kind of running around all over the country this last week, but good to be at a game on Friday night. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I have to clarify, it was the second week of the season, but it was week one because we do that.
Yes.
We always say that every year. So this week coming up is week two. And we've come to a time where some teams are not playing this week. They're taking the week off. So last week, some teams started their season for, the first game. So the week zero, teams are taking advantage of that, either starting early, taking a bye in the middle, or taking a bye at the end before the conference starts.
Well, let's get into some of the headlines. One of the games we were talking about before we got on the air was the Bryant game going up to Missouri. I know they didn't get back till late, but a big win for them on Friday night.
Big win. And if you go to our site, you'll see that I do picks every week for every game. I think I'm the only person in Arkansas that does every game. There's some other sites that have different people doing classes, but I'm picking every game, which is proven to be very difficult. But I had CBC picked to win by a touchdown and that margin of victory. Because I felt like, Bryant didn't play great in the Salt Bowl and that trip, but mostly the pick was to do with the trip, because I thought it was going to be harder to make that in one day against a good team who was rested. They won 45-0 in their first game against a lesser opponent. But and Bryant, gets over to the and meets it at about 5:45. They get off, get going a little bit later, and then have to change buses in Little Rock. I don't know exactly what happened there, but they had to change. They got the Bible. They had to walk through. They ate in St. Louis and then went there, and they came out of the bus like they were shot out of a cannon. They score on their first drive. And what something that I have never seen before. So CBC's down 7-0. They take over after the touchback. Three straight false start penalties before they even ran a play. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So that was kind of the way the whole night went for them. They shot themselves in the foot quite often. And Bryant played, I think, as close to an A game you can. Coaches are critical even in wins, but they were very good on all sides, all facets of the game, and jumped out to a 21-0 lead right away, then led 28-0 in the second, and the game was basically over. So that's a huge win for them, the way they did it. And now you play Parkview. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I think you've got a lot of momentum coming into that game now. CBC, some major Division I players on that team, and they just did not play well. They kind of played the way you thought that Bryant might play after a 5-hour trip, but that was the exact opposite. So a kudos to that coaching staff. There was a lot of running in the first three quarters of that Bryant or the Benton game, and the playbook was a little vanilla. They opened it up, and that probably was by design. You don't want to show a lot, that's why I think things were a little stagnant the first three quarters, and then they passed the ball and they scored three touchdowns immediately. Well, then they started off doing that, and everything was clicking. So if Bryant's got a lot of talent, a lot of depth, if they're playing like that, they're going to be hard to beat, and we'll set the stage a little bit for this Parkview game in just a few minutes.
Well, how about Conway on Friday night? Not just the fact that they beat Bentonville, but the fact that they beat Bentonville 55-21. I think the score was probably the most surprising part of that game Friday.
Yeah, absolutely it was. And again, Grayson Wilson has a huge game. The big thing for me in that game was to see how good is he going to do? Like, how well is he going to play? Because, you have the game against Morrilton. You and he played well in that. I mean, he was like 8 for 10. And then you had the game at Jonesboro, and played you know, well in that game, in a half. And but you know, that's a 6A opponent, not to take anything away from them. But now you're going against you know, a team that had just played Union in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, to overtime. Some rankings have them in the top 25 in the country. And so you were really kind of, you know, wondering how is he going to play in this? And then he throws for 300 yards, and they've got some guys, running backs have stepped up, and they looked really good. I mean, you know, Buck James has to be happy, because I think they still probably feel like all coaches will never be, you know, completely satisfied. But that's basically a playoff game. That's two teams that have designs on state championships, and they came there and you beat them well. I mean, you dominated. So two positives. One, you had some guys step up all around in both offense and defense. And two, your four-star quarterback played like it, and he seems to grasp the offense well and mesh well with his teammates. And that's something that after, you know, week two or week one, you're not sure if that's going to happen yet. But it looks like it has. Now, could he have a bad game coming down the road? Yes. Could there be some more bumps? Yeah, there could be. And when they, you know, get into the meat of the 7A Central, they're not going to play Bryant till the final game of the regular season. But there's some tougher games in there. Pulaski Academy could be a tough game. So, and he might throw a couple interceptions, and you'll have to see how he bounces back. But he passed this test with flying colors, and so did they. And if you're a Conway fan, you have to feel very good about your chances to not only win the Central and beat Bryant finally, but also to go to a state championship game.
I guess so. One of the last games that we'll touch on from last week, Carlisle had a really big second half against Junction City. That was a game that was close at halftime. And then you look up and it's a 41-20 final with Carlisle coming out on top Friday night.
Absolutely. So two things that aren't related to the game. One, you've been to a lot of press boxes. You're a young guy, but you've been to a lot of press boxes covering games in Northeast Arkansas. If I had a dime for every press box I've been in 27 years, and I've been from rural Iowa to here, so I've been in deer stands and I've been in everything. Eight-man football in Missouri. I mean, I've seen it all, but saw something on Friday night that I haven't seen. We get up there and we're on the upper level. First of all, great hospitality by Coach Green and all the Carlisle people. I mean, that's a wonderful football town. But, you know, we were warned that the box might move a little bit, but didn't realize it was going to be like you're on a cruise ship. And I'm not motion sick or anything, but it was a little weird. And, you know, we were kind of on the outside of a system, an outflow boundary. It didn't get us for the second week in a row. Storms were all around us, but it didn't. But some wind picked up and it kind of moved it. And then the Junction City coaches, when they came and went at halftime and stuff, it moved really big. And so it was fine. I think it's fine, but it was a little bit precarious. And I'm not a guy that's afraid of heights or motion sickness or anything like that. So it was okay, but it's another thing that I mark up to, you know, when you've done something long enough, you'll see everything. And I added another chapter to the book on Friday night. The other thing is I knew all about the mosquitoes, but seeing those things, those look like small birds out there. They're not to be messed with. You better bring a whole gallon of DEET out there. It being in the box, I didn't get a lot of them. But the sideline guy, Josh Neighbors for the Buzz, I think he said this morning on Morning Mayhem that he was just eaten alive. I don't think he brought anything with him. But I digress a little bit. Sometimes it's nice to give a little color on what happened. But the football game, 7-6 Junction City at the half. honestly a little bit of a boring and sloppy game to start off with. And then in the second half, you have a lot of fireworks. We knew that Tanksley, the heralded baseball player, freshman quarterback for Carlisle, you know, we were kind of told by some people that, you know, it may take him a minute to get going, you know, and a little jittery. One of his teammates was up in the box hurt, and he's like, yeah, that was the way it was the week before, you know, and he's kind of, and this is a huge game. I mean, you're carrying the whole weight of the town in a game like this. It's a playoff type atmosphere. And he was a little rusty. And then in the second half, he really played well. I actually talked to him after the game. He's a very sharp kid for 15 years old. And as a guy that potentially could be a Division I football or baseball recruit, has a bright future in football too. So yeah, they take care of business. They scored 35 second half points, ran the ball well, two or three running touchdowns in there, some key defensive plays. If you're Junction City, you're kind of scratching your head a little bit because 2 weeks in a row you lose. And that game wasn't the best, way to play it either. You know, the best outcome, it was kind of a blowout there later in the game. So you kind of, if you're Devin Ball, you're kind of going back to the drawing board a little bit as you prepare for this next game, I think, to kind of rally the troops, because it's not going to get any easier coming up. So that was a fun atmosphere. I think, you know, even when the loss, and we mentioned this before the game, that whoever loses this game, I mean, it doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's yeah. You haven't lost a conference game. It's not a playoff game, but it's neat to play those. I was telling their AD Green, you know, this is like Michigan and Texas, you know, the equivalent, you know, in college football, these power teams playing each other in non-conference in the same class. So we had several of those games this year in high school football. It's neat to see it. And I was glad to be there.
Before we get into the matchups to look forward to this week, I guess, you know, last week we did a deep dive on the top 25 that you put out last week. I know we've touched a little bit on some of those top 25 teams here in the last few minutes, but were there any other games or matchups involving top 25 teams that kind of caught your eye on Friday?
Oh, there were a few. I mean, we mentioned a lot of those, like you said, I got it pulled up here, and I'll go over a couple. Fayetteville won again over in Broken Arrow, and they look, you know, not surprising that they're the real deal, but they plugged in some key transfers, Garrett Odom being one of them, the quarterback, and haven't disappointed so far. Really, really good. Pulaski Academy gets a big win over Madison Ridgeland. Really think, the more I see things and hear some things over there in West Little Rock, feel like they could, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the year some teams to watch that could surprise. I feel pretty bullish about them in that third seed there in the Central. Ridgeland, and these are not maybe the caliber, and Robinson are not the caliber teams you're going to play in the Central, but Ridgeland has already played three games over in Mississippi, and PA goes over there and dominated them. So that's a good sign. I think they're going to be, you know, as good as we thought, and maybe have a chance that third seed with Cabot and Little Rock Christian. Speaking of Little Rock Christian, Shiloh Christian comes down and beats them for the second time in 2 years. Big win for them. Harding Academy at number 10. Not shocking that they lost to Marion, but got beat pretty badly by three touchdowns. So three or four touchdowns. So that, not alarming, because Marion's a good 6A team, as you know, but at the same time, thought that might be a closer game. Still feel really good about Harding Academy in the 5A East. Bentonville West loses again. They lose to Cabot, so they're going to drop some more, and Cabot will probably gain a couple of spots. They were at 15 last week. And then there's one other team I wanted to mention here. Valley View looking really good at 22. They blitzed Searcy, and Drew Gartman, a guy you're familiar with being in Jonesboro, a talented baseball player. He moved from wide receiver to quarterback and really, really done a good job these first two games. I talked to Randy Myers, the voice of the Blazers, in the press box at Arkansas State Saturday night. It was good to see Randy, and he feels really good about them. So them and Harding Academy in October is going to be a huge game. They played each other in non-conference, but Valley View looking good. So that's kind of a look at the 25. It will be out probably tomorrow, the fresh one. So look for that. Oh, hold on. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Just looking ahead to this week and some of the big games coming up this week on Friday night. One big matchup that's going to occur in Central Arkansas. A couple of teams that scored a whole lot of points last week as Bryant goes to Parkview on Friday night.
Huge game. A game that's been circled for a long time. Parkview beats Bryant last year on their home field, snaps a 54-game winning streak, and really that's the defining moment for Patriot football. I mean, they'd already won a championship, but I think being a 5A team, beating them, now you've solidified yourself as the number one team in the state as a 5A class member, and that vaulted them into the SB Live regional rankings, where I think they finished in the, you know, round six or so. But you're talking about Texas teams and people like that. So was a huge win for their program. It was, I would say, the biggest win in the Brad Bolding era. I mean, maybe one of the biggest wins Brad's had in his whole career. If you go back and look at everything to North Little Rock, and I'm counting champion. And the first championship was pretty sweet, you know, for sure. But it was a big one. So you fast forward to this year, and, you know, I think Bryant definitely circling this game because they took some hits from the pundits and some of the boo birds because, hey, you're kind of in a lose-lose situation there, because with Parkview moving from 6A to 5A, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they have 6A football numbers and 7A talent. I mean, you know, a lot of the best players in the Little Rock School District are going there. And some guys, you know, transferred in. So that is not your average 5A football team. But when they lost, a lot of people came out of the woodwork. You know, they'd beaten a lot of teams in 5 years. So people came out and ripped them and said they lost to a 5A team, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that was a motivating factor for them going into the offseason. And normally you would not circle a non-conference game on the schedule, because as a coach, and I don't think the coaches have circled this, but the players have. And you, as a coach, you don't want to emphasize a non-conference game, and the Salt Bowl is a little different because it's the Salt Bowl and it's the first game of the year. But again, it doesn't mean anything as far as getting to the playoffs or the conference standings or anything like that. But for these kids, you know, they heard all the negative chatter and they want to win this game. And I think they want to be number one in the state. And, you know, Fayetteville is two right now. So I don't know if a win over them would leapfrog them. That's something we'll have to look at. Fayetteville's played well, but it would put themselves in a position to move there and at least be there at the end of the year if they win. But Parkview loaded with talent. They were only up 6-0 at halftime on Maumelle, 9-0 in the third, and then they end up scoring over 50 points. But that's the way they can do it. You know, you've got three or four Ferraris back there that can move. And so when you don't execute on defense, an 80-yard touchdown can happen easily. Montario Elston, the Kansas State, I'm going to just call him a wide receiver running back because he plays both, really. And so that's the problem, is that you can line him up in lots of places and you don't know where he is. So he had a big game, and they've got a lot of talent. Quentin Murphy played well. He threw the ball better. That's something that you thought maybe when Bryant plays them, you get him in third and long situations. But he proved that he could throw it. So it's going to be a big test for them because the Bryant defense is good. That front seven, put them up probably against anybody that Parkview would play, even Melissa, Texas. Eli Hill on that edge, he was at Arkansas State Saturday night. He talked to both Tulsa and Arkansas State, just really waiting on an offer. But it's probably going to come soon. And when it comes from one or two, I think it'll be three or four or five Division I offers for him. He's a very, very good defensive end, 11 sacks last year. And if you're Bryant, you're encouraged with the offense. Yeah, you threw in a few wrinkles, some inside handoffs. You got your speed on the outside going. Carter Ratliff, the 6'4 receiver, he's a matchup problem with his height. Got him the football. Kamari Austin is becoming what we all thought since we've seen him in eighth grade, a guy that's a Division I receiver. He has one offer right now, and he'll get more. He had three catches in about 5 minutes of real time in the Salt Bowl to open that thing up. So this is going to be a showcase of hard-hitting athleticism and two very complete football teams that are well coached. So this could be the game of the year, and whoever wins this game is going to be very happy. It means a lot to both teams, and you know, if whoever loses it is still going to have a chance to win a state title. That's the silver lining. But I think the bragging rights here and the number one ranking are all very much motivating factors for both these clubs.
A couple of other matchups this week, both involving 3A schools. Charleston will go on the road to Ozark. Meanwhile, Junction City will go on the road to Smackover, who scored a ton of points last Friday night.
Yeah, Charles, that's another River Valley rivalry. Charleston lost to Pottsville. You know, they'll be trying to bounce back from that. Good win by the Apaches. Ozark has Kobe Wilbanks, who is one of the more talented players, but that's another good, you know, he's a quarterback, but he can run the ball. He's played receiver. That's going to be one to watch over there. A good one. And Junction City, you know, as we mentioned, trying to avoid being 0-3, and Smackover has a new quarterback that transferred in from El Dorado, and he's done a good job. You know, some of the 60 points is on him, and a new offense, a new coach, opening things up. And you know, we mentioned that Smackover was going to be a team to watch this year with Mitchell Polk, the quarterback coming in. He was a really shining star at El Dorado. So get a guy like that to come in with a new coaching staff, got a pretty good receiving core. This is going to be a good game, and Junction City kind of wants to stop the bleeding a little bit. Not be 0-3 going into the conference season.
Well, a couple of other big matchups in state this week. Lakeside goes to Robinson. Obviously, Robinson coming off of the win against Jonesboro on the road at Jonesboro last week, too. And then I think you have a matchup of two of the premier recruits in the state. With Marion going to Conway, you got Carius Curd, obviously, on the Marion side, and then Grayson Wilson as well for Conway on Friday.
Lakeside 2-0 and blasted Sheridan. You know, a lot of people made a big deal about Kevin Kelly's debut, running all over Whitehall, kind of came back down to earth. And he mentioned he wants to see what's going to happen when this team kind of gets punched in the mouth. And, you know, it happened. It was 7-6 at the half, and Lakeside punched them and kept punching them and, you know, scored the big win. This is another good matchup of in-class non-conference opponents that both teams could make runs in the playoffs. Garen Rockwell at Lakeside is unbelievable. He was a longtime assistant there. He's taken over with a really big dose of positivity, and it's rubbed off into this year too, carried over, if you would. And so they have a chance to go 3-0. Robinson's got some really good athletes. Their quarterback, Broaden, came over from North Little Rock. A lot of skilled guys. Escola is an awesome coach. Good tradition there. This will be a good game. And, yeah, Kern, that's a good chance for people in Central Arkansas to see him. He is I can't think of a more dominant offensive lineman. I mean, there's been some good ones. Marion Harris, who's playing for Arkansas right now, was at Robinson recently. But this guy's big, and he's athletic, and probably like Sean Andrews, going all the way back to Camden in the early 2000s. And he's got a mean streak. I mean, he hits you till the whistle. I mean, and a little bit beyond. Those guys that are really good can kind of hit you when the whistle kind of stops, you know, and not get away with it. And he's got a bad attitude out there. He's a good kid, but he plays football. very aggressively. And with that kind of athleticism, you know, I think Conway wins this game, but it's a good test for Marion to play a team like this. And also to just showcase Kern, I think it's a good opportunity for them to play in Central Arkansas. And, you know, if Conway doesn't play well, we talked about, you know, Wilson maybe could have one of those games where he, has a couple picks or whatever. You know, they'll take advantage of it. They've got some athletes, and they're well coached. I like Lance Clark. I think he's a rising star in the coaching business. But definitely an interesting matchup.
A few more to touch on before we get out of here today. Sure. Perryville goes to Bigelow, and then also Prairie Grove on the road at Farmington on Friday night.
Two rivalry games, big rivalry games. And, you know, Bigelow loses last week to Mayflower big. That's not a huge disappointment, though, because, you know, they're a smaller school. Mayflower is good and a little upper class, higher class. Perryville gets upset by Atkins in week one or week zero. So both of them want to play well in this game. A lot of emotions. Bigelow has controlled it, you know, last year and won a state title. So look for a good close game with some really good players. There's some good small school guys on this team that have gotten some recognition from us in all state. Connor Firth being one of them, the quarterback and defensive back. And then for Perryville, and then the Battle of Highway 62. Farmington a few years ago won by the biggest margin in the series for them. They won last year. They're the bigger school now. They're in 5A, Prairie Grove's in 4A. But this is when they meet, you can have to throw those records out the window. And Farmington's 0-2. And, you know, they played a tough non-conference schedule with Shiloh and then Harbor. Harbor scored 65 points on them, and they scored 50. But if you're Tommy Tice, you would love to get a win here, your first win at Farmington. And just to go in, you've got to play Harrison next. The next game, it's not next week, but I think they've got a week off. But their first game in the conference is Harrison. So you would love to not be 0-3 going into that one. You can spin that in all kinds of ways and say, well, we've played three non-conference good teams and all that stuff. But you would feel a lot better winning this game going into that one. And Prairie Grove won their first game, so they feel good about themselves. It's when they play, it's always a great atmosphere. It's one of those really good rivalries, probably the top two or three in the Northwest Arkansas area. So should be a fun Friday night.
A couple of other in-state games this week. Rogers going on the road to Sheridan, which I think is a ton of interesting storylines. The two at Arkansas Tech, Warren will take on Elkins Friday night.
Rogers comes down, talked to their kicker at Arkansas State. You know, he's a little bit weary of the, you know, coming back, playing Oklahoma last week. Now you got to make a trip down here. And on a Thursday night, it's a TV game. You know that Sheridan is going to come back focused. Rogers gives them a big challenge because they're a bigger school. And Chad Harbison has done a great job of instilling some winning ways there. And they feel like they can win. You know, they may sneak in there and get that third seed. You know, they may upset Fayetteville or Bentonville. You know, you never know. They're good enough to do it. They're playing well. And Sheridan just wants to get back to the way they were week one, you know, clicking on all cylinders and playing better. And they've got the home crowd, TV. I think they'll be ready for the game. And then another kind of a classic type game at Arkansas Tech. Warren with a lot of firepower, a great offense going against a stingy defense. Elkins is really good. Two teams that have a chance to go to state championships. We've kind of overwhelmingly picked Warren to win it. And you know, we'll see what they can do on a neutral site. Definitely a playoff type matchup.
Last one is an out-of-state matchup. Shiloh Christian going all the way to Oklahoma to take on Lincoln Christian. Another chance for Arkansas to showcase themselves against an out-of-state team.
It's a good team over there. Shiloh's done well against them the last couple years. And I like the way Shiloh's playing. Beat Farmington big, beat Little Rock Christian. Of course, they start their conference season with Greenwood at home, their first 6A opponent. And that's a brutal draw, But playing it at Champions Field, that they don't lose many games there. So winning this game and being 3-0 going into that one, going to be a ton of hype. That's why I put that on there. I think doesn't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things playing in Oklahoma, private school, but they've played them a lot. And I think they want to be 3-0 going to this game. So a lot of us will talk that game up, and it will be huge in a couple weeks in September.
Well, always, I know we're going to have a ton of stuff over at the website leading up to games on Friday night. What can we expect to find this week?
The rankings will be out soon. Top 10 games to watch. And check out that Athlete of the Week. This is for all sports in the fall. Jeff Halpern does a good job of that. Football, volleyball, cross country, tennis, all the sports that are played right now, golf. You'll find your athletes on there. Vote for them. Share that link and get those kids some votes. That's always a very popular feature that we do. And, of course, there'll be a lot of football and some more volleyball rankings and position list votes. A lot of something that no one else does, showcasing a lot of these kids around the state by position. So look for that and vote for your favorite volleyball player.
Well, looking forward to seeing all that. As always, always enjoy the Arkansas Prep Extra podcast. I think this is episode 125. We'll be back next week to recap some more non-conference games. But until then, for Nate Olson, I'm Cade Carlton saying so long, and we'll talk to you next week.